Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our gospel reading from Matthew 13, and our focus this morning is going to be on verse 23. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Will you pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, so wonderful to once again hear your word, the word of the kingdom. May this word be sown among us, sown in our hearts. May it flow out in fruitfulness in our lives. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. As I mentioned before, we are starting a new series called This is the Kingdom. We're going to be focusing on the parables of Jesus that he spoke about, in which he said, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Now, the word parable, let's face it, you're not going to hear this word very often at the store or at the coffee shop or just sitting around the fire ring in your backyard among family and friends. No one is going to simply say to you, hey, let me tell you a parable. But you probably will hear this. Oh boy, do I have a story for you. And that is what a parable actually is. It's just a simple story. But it's not just a simple story like you would see on a screen or read in a book. No, actually, the literal meaning of parable means to compare two things, to set one thing beside another in parallel and compare them. So that's what the purpose of a parable is. It is to reveal something hidden. You have your surface level narrative, but underneath it, you have the real hidden meaning of what's going on in the story. But when Jesus tells these stories, what he is revealing is the very kingdom of heaven, its rule and its reign. He is revealing the ways of God within the kingdom itself. And so we begin with the watershed of all parables, where Jesus sits down in a boat with the crowds and he opens his mouth and speaks to them in parables. And here is what he says. A sower went out to sow. Now, we've heard this parable, this story, many, many times. For us, it's just become old hat. And it's yet such a special story because it's so simple, and yet it has a rich meaning to it. And it is simple because even though there is a lot going on in this story, there's actually three parts to it. The first part I just read, a sower went out to sow. Now, back in Jesus' day, someone would either have a bag or the fold of their robe, and they'd lift it up and they'd pour a bunch of seed in there and they'd dip their hand into it and just throw it onto the ground. That's called sowing ground. But when you actually look at the story, when you look at the details of it, two things pop out. One is that the sower is indiscriminate as to where he sows his seed. He just picks up seed and just hurls it. He doesn't care where it lands. And the second thing is based upon the harvest yield at the end of his story, sower is gracious. He just keeps dipping in and sowing and dipping in and sowing and just casting as much seed as he can get out. That's part one. Part two is the unfruitful soils that the seed lands upon. One lands on the path, and the birds see it, and they think, well, that's food, and so they gobble it up. And still other seed lands on kind of rocky ground, and so it does, you know, spring up, but because of the rock, it can't get the root down in there. And when the sun heats up in the day, it scorches it and it withers away. But then some of the seed lands among thorns. And even though it starts to grow, thorns just choke it, literally strangle it to death, and it bears no fruit. That's part two. Then there's the third part, which is the fruitful soil. And boy, is it fruitful. It yields a bountiful harvest, a huge harvest in Jesus' day. One yield was 100-fold, one was 60, and one was 30. Now, this is the story that Jesus tells, but he is telling a parable, and so we know that there is an underlying meaning here. What is Jesus actually saying here? Well, Jesus actually explains this to his disciples. When they ask him, they say, what is going on here? And he says, well, let me explain it to you. The seed is the word of the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, the birds is the evil one, and the rocky path are those who, they just can't stand the rigors of discipleship, and other ones, the thorns, that's the cares of the world. But then those who hear the word and understand it, that's the bountiful harvest. But Jesus is not just talking here about the interpretation of parable. No, he's actually talking about his ministry, how he has brought the very kingdom of heaven down to earth and the various responses to it. You see, Jesus has brought the kingdom of heaven to earth in his ministry, in his words and in his deeds. He has proclaimed the kingdom of heaven. He has proclaimed God's grace for the sinner, proclaimed forgiveness, and he has backed it up with incredible deeds, that he has healed people of their illness, that he has cast out demons from people that no one else could get rid of, and that he has simply gone to those who know their sin, and he says, take heart. Sins are forgiven, actually forgiving their sin. And yet people responded mostly in a very unfruitful way. Some people heard his words and saw the deeds and they thought, that was Satan ripping the word out of their heart because they didn't understand what Jesus was doing. Others, well, they saw what Jesus was doing and they thought, wow, this is fantastic. But then Jesus starts talking about denying yourself, taking up your cross, following me, and whoa, that's a little too much, and they fall away. Others say, this is great, Jesus. I will follow you wherever you go. But first, you know, I got to go take care of a few things. I got to get things in order, and then I'll come follow you. And they never do, and they never bear fruit. But some respond to Jesus' ministry. They understand it. But this is the king among them. This is their Messiah. A harvest of righteousness is produced in them, faith, in doing things that Jesus was doing in his name. But is that all Jesus is describing here in this story? He's just describing his current ministry and the responses to it. Could there be something else? Could there be even more deeper meaning to this story? Think about it. A sower went out to sow the seed. Maybe that is God sowing his word, the word made flesh, Jesus himself, bringing the kingdom of heaven to all people. You see, God sent forth his Son into the world in the flesh. And when he came into the world, there were all kinds of reactions. The devil tempted Jesus to give up on his mission, to not complete his mission of salvation. And his disciples, they saw what Jesus was doing and they thought, this is fantastic, until they get to the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus is arrested and they're thinking, oh boy, that could happen to me too. And they flee, they desert him. And then the religious elite, they are so wrapped up and choked with the cares of the world, the trying to keep their position, trying to keep their authority, that they put Jesus to death on a cross. But oh, what a bountiful harvest you can have when even a seed is buried in the ground, because Jesus rose from the dead and he sowed his words and his spirit into his disciples, and they yielded an abundant harvest in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, on down through time and space to right here at this moment. You see, the word has been sown among you and me. A sower went out to sow. God has sown his word among you. The word made flesh, Jesus Christ. And he has just dipped his hand and scattered it in abundance. He has spoken this word to you in your baptism, in which he clearly declares to you, this is my child, you are mine, and nothing is going to snatch you out of my hand. He has spoken to you this word throughout the pages of Holy Scripture, where it is just one long running story of a God that loves sinful humanity so much, loves you and me so much, that he came down to earth and died and rose so he could have you back. A word that is spoken then in a supper that the Lord himself institutes, where he says, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood, given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This word has been sown among you, and you have heard it. You have heard it many times. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you understand it. You understand that the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, has rescued you from the evil one, has pulled you completely out of his domain into the kingdom of heaven itself. You understand that the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, is deeply rooted inside of you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Christ dwells in you. You understand that the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, has called you out of this world of burdens, cares and concerns and worries and anxieties that choke you, and instead has pulled you into a kingdom of comfort, of peace, of joy. And lo and behold, you bear fruit. You bear fruit. The good works that God has prepared beforehand for you to do in Christ Jesus, because you are abiding in the true vine. He is producing fruit in you, the fruit that the Spirit produces, a fruit of love for all people, a fruit of joy beyond compare, a fruit of peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. Yes, the sower went out to sow seed. The kingdom of heaven has come to you. The word bearing fruit in you. But if this is true, and it is true, then there is a question that we need to ask ourselves every single day of our lives in Christ, and it's this: is anything getting in the way of the word, of hearing it, of receiving it, and bearing fruit? Maybe you look at your lives and you're thinking, no, it's not. You know, are you not bearing that fruit because of the birds? Because of the evil one? Because of the enticement of evil? The temptations that Satan is luring you away from, and next thing you know, you're not listening to the word, you're listening to him and giving in? Or is it because of the rocky ground? Is it because of the pressures of discipleship, of following Christ in this sinful, fallen world, and it's just becoming too much for you to bear? Or is it because of the thorns? Is it because of the cares of this world, the worries, where you become so wrapped up in the things of this life, all the things that are going on in our day and age, that all of a sudden you are consumed with it, and the word gets choked out by it? You can't bear fruit. Or are you not bearing fruit by sowing that seed, that word, among others? Sowing the word made flesh, Jesus Christ, through your words and deeds, bearing fruit in them by giving them the very kingdom. Is this not happening? And you may be looking at your lives of fruitfulness and wondering, I am not being very fruitful at all. Well, let me tell you a little story to encourage you. It's about Mother Teresa, who went one day to her superiors, and she said to them, I have 3 pennies and a dream from God to open an orphanage in Calcutta. And her superiors just looked at her and said, Teresa, you can't open an orphanage with 3 pennies. In fact, with 3 pennies, you can't do anything. And Teresa just simply smiled at them and said, you're right. But with God and 3 pennies, I can do anything. You see, the power to bear fruit comes from the seed alone, comes from the word made flesh alone, comes from Jesus alone. He is the one that is at work in you. He does all of the work. He is the one that bears fruit, that causes you to bear fruit in your life. And he is the one that is sowing the seed, the word, sowing himself and his kingdom among others in you and through you. Because this is the kingdom. A seed is sown. The word made flesh, Jesus Christ, landing among all kinds of people and bearing fruit in them and through them. And oh, what an abundant harvest it will be. Amen.